attendance might be a little bit low this morning, because, you know, I'm very prophetic that way, you know, because it's freezing cold, it's Christmas Day, and many of us have other places and other commitments to go, and I know some churches just cancel the service because they know the attendance will be so small. And I was remembering way back in the day when I was in seminary, so way back in the day, okay, it was right after light was invented. And I remember Garth was one of the students. Now, I was just a freshman at that time, first year student. He was getting ready to graduate. He was one of these really scholarly types, really, really smart. And I'd only been in one class with him, but you could tell he was, and he spoke with a German accent. He was from Germany. And so that made him even sound smarter, you know, because people with a British accent, you know. But German, you're like, oh, he knows all that stuff. And so anyways, he was telling us about going out to the student church he served, which is, you know, his student churches are not overly large to begin with, but he showed up, and there had been a blizzard, all right? It's unusual for Kentucky to get a lot of snow, little bits of snow, but not a lot, but they got a lot of snow. And Garth, by golly, he's German. Ain't nothing gonna stop me from getting to my church. You know, and he got up way early, hazarded the drive, got to the church, and no one is there. So he opens up the church. He says, well, maybe they're caught up in the snow. Now, the people who live there live like a block away. He just came 35 miles, okay? And he's waiting for them to come and waiting for them to come. And finally, one of the farmers shows up. And Garth is like, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Do we have services? Do we not? What do we do when you only have one parishioner? And the farmer was an elder. He says, well, Garth, the way we do it on my farm is when it's feeding time, I go to where the cows are supposed to come. And if only one cow shows up, I feed it. You can imagine. That just inspired the heck out of Garth. He's like, all right, by God, we're going to go through the service. And they sang every verse of every hymn. He went through all the prayers. Remember, it's German, so you got all that, you know, kind of Lutheran. Went through all the prayers, the statements of confession. He went through the entire sermon. All right? It's like 5 pages of notes and everything. He just goes through it all. They go through the communion, and at the end of the service, he runs back there so he can greet, you know, the one worshiper that came. And you know, service lasted like an hour and 20 minutes. The farmer comes out, and he says, I told you that I feed the one cow, but I don't drop the whole truckload of feed on that cow. I'm trying to remember that for today. I don't want to dump the whole truckload of feed on you, but you are here, and we do want to be able to worship God and feel God's presence and celebrate God's love and grace to us. And I know it's Christmas Day. How many of you have already opened some gifts? All right. Look at that. Some of you already opened some gifts. I'm impressed. And I was thinking. What was the best gift? Now I'm talking about material gifts. I don't want to hear, I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. I want you to think a minute, what was the best gift you ever received?
Roller skates.
When you were a kid. The what?
Roller skates.
Oh, you're one of those who could do that. Yeah. They do it. I couldn't even walk, so yeah, that was good. All right, roller skates. And I know one year I was talking about how I always had wanted a horse. And then turned out that Diana had it. Remember when she surprised me with that? She got a horse. We all pray for horses. She got a horse. What were some of the other gifts? Best gift you got? Yeah. A car?
Wow.
Man.
You got
what? You guys got, there's a transportation theme going here. All right. Roller skates, horses, cars. You got a purple bicycle with a banana seat. Yeah. That is impressive. All right. And what else? Anybody? What?
Barbie dolls.
I remember we had. Yeah, those were important. The what? Oh, okay. All right.
John, what Marilyn announced, an easy bake oven.
Easy bake oven. Yeah, my sister got one of those. Was I ever disappointed? She was happy, but I was very, because I was expecting a full-blown cake to come out, you know. The oven's like this big, you know. It just not, it was, but she was very, very happy for that. It just, you know, and you know, we get older, sometimes we don't have gifts that, you know, there's not a whole lot somebody can put under a tree that is really going to make our Christmas complete. It's way more about relationships, because I was thinking about in terms of, I wonder what God wants for Christmas. What does God want for Christmas? And you say, oh, he wants peace on earth. Okay, all right, yeah, that's kind of an easy answer. He wants, you know, he wants all poor people taken care of. He wants, you know, the hungry fed, the people who need, you know. We can go through that litany. And I think, though, underneath all of that is, if you've ever been to Italy, raise your hand if you've been to Italy, so I can be jealous, but I haven't been, all right? But I understand there's a place in Italy called the Vatican. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
The Vatican? And in the Vatican, they have this chapel. It's called the, what kind of chapel is it
Sistine.
Called? The Sistine Chapel. And if you've ever been blessed to get to Italy, to get to the Vatican, to get to the, you have to stand in lines, okay? Standing in line to get into a church, every minister's dream, all right? But they're coming into the Sistine Chapel, because one of the highlights of that, all right, is the ceiling. The ceiling, Michelangelo, okay? And it's the creation of Adam. That's technically the name of the painting or the fresco. And if you've ever seen, if you haven't seen it live, if you've seen pictures of it, all right, on that scene, it shows God. And it shows God on a cloud, and it shows God surrounded by angels, and it shows God reaching. And you can see God is reaching, he's stretching, every muscle is hot. When? He's got long hair. Who knew we have a hippie God? He has long hair and a beard, and it's flowing back as if it's from the wind, from the angels in him, as they are striving to get to Adam. And Adam is laying there, and he's kind of in a relaxed pose. And he's kind of got his arm, the elbows resting on the knee, and he's got his little, he's got his index finger kind of reaching toward God. But there's not nearly the desire that you see on Adam's face that you see on God's. God's desire is to be with us. That's what God desires most. Of all the things, you, every page of the Bible is about God's desire to be with us. We were created because God had a desire. Let us make in our image, male and female, God make all of us. God says, I've got so much love in my heart, I can't hold it. I've got to do something with it. And what God desired was to make you, to make humans, to have a relationship with us. And for us to understand that he always is going to want to be with us. Even when we mess up, even when we fail, even when we discourage him, even when we disappoint him, God still desires to be with us. So much so that that's why we celebrate Christmas. Because we just couldn't seem to understand. We kept thinking it was performance-oriented, that it mattered how good we were, and the rules we had to follow, and all the commandments, and all these other things. We have to do all these things to please God. And we don't. They are important, because they will help us. They will help us protect ourselves. They will help us protect others. They are important rules. They are more than just guidelines. It is the way God is calling us to live our life. But that is not what God desires. God desires to be in relationship with us. That's why he sent Jesus. So that Jesus could be able to tell us and to show us of all the things that are going on in the world, of all the things that are happening, the number one thing God desires is for us to understand He desires to be with us. The whole name, Jesus. And what's the title? Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. That's God's desire. Now, most of us have other desires. I mean, we want to be with God, but we're kind of like Adam. Yeah, that would be good to have God, but I'd kind of like a car or a pony or roller skates or, you know, those things wouldn't be, football growing up, that was mine. You know, those things would be all right as well. And we get older, and all of a sudden things are a little bit different. And we see what's going on in the world, and things are a little different. And I'm remembering, and I'm standing up here on these steps and everything, so that you can see me. Because I'm short. Did you know I was short?
No.
I'm short. Who the heck thought that was a good idea? I spent all my prayers praying that I could be big. I was going to do all these great things. No, I'm short. And short people can do a lot of things, but one of the things we can't do too good is reach. We're not really good at reaching. And the other thing we're not really good at is seeing, especially when there's a crowd. When there's a crowd, there's something going down, and it's really difficult to see. No matter how many times you try to be Moses and part the crowd, it doesn't work. And you're seeing the backside of most people. You're not seeing whatever else everybody else is seeing. And even at church, it can happen that way. I remember it was a large church, and they had tons of youth and children, and they had the big old Christmas pageant. You know how they had those big Christmas pageants? And they had the big procession coming in, and there's Mary, and there's Joseph, and they already had the manger in place, and there's angels, flocks of angels all over the place, and the wise men, and the shepherds, and all of that going on. And trailing behind it all is another angel. Remember that book, The Littlest Angel? Okay. She was like the littlest angel. Okay. And she's stuck all the way down there on the floor. And all the action is up here. And they've got it all V'd out. And so she can't see. And she's trying to crane her neck. She's trying to look the other way. She's doing everything she can to be able to see. And she's all of 5 years old. And she's frustrated. She goes, finally, she says in a very loud voice, "Let Jesus show. I can't see Jesus." People were in her way. She couldn't see Jesus. And part of God's desire is that we let Jesus show. Because we are living in a time when people are straining their neck to see hope. People are straining to see love. People are straining to believe that there is that their God is present in their situation, in their circumstance, and in this planet. They want to know that God is present. It's good that they can hear that God is active in the world, but what they're really looking for is Jesus. And God gifts us with that opportunity to show the world Jesus. Yes, there is darkness in the world. There is. We are living in dark times. We're living in challenging times. We're living in hard times, which is all the more reason people are looking for light, so that we can give them that hope, to let them know that the darkness will not overcome it. Not because we're brilliant, not because we're strong, not because we're tall or mighty, but because God is. And nothing can separate us from the presence of God. Nothing can stop God's love from shining. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome. Amen. Amen.